try and build insurance products in the way that we as real estate investors would want that, you know, that type of coverage or at least that type of transparency and control. So that way, every unique and individual property or asset can be evaluated now, at least from an insurance perspective, on what's in the best interest of that specific asset or that specific portfolio during the course of the next year, right? How do rents look? Do you want to, you know, do you want to add a little bit of coverage? Do you want to take it away? What are the things that are important to you? What keeps you up at night? And what can insurance do to help be a strategic partner in your real estate investing strategy?
Welcome to the Passive Income Brothers podcast.
Here, we take the fear out of real estate investing using real-life stories of everyday successful investors.
Let's go.
Welcome to another episode of the Passive Income Brothers podcast. My name is Tim Lyons, and today I'm joined by two absolute rock stars, one of which being my brother, Greg. How are you doing today, buddy?
Tim, fantastic day. Exciting podcast on the horizon right here. You know, we've talked about taxes here recently. We've talked about other riveting things, but we have insurance today. And, you know, when we think about insurance, we think, oh, I have to do it. We have a guest today that's, you know, kind of turned insurance upside down and has some tips and tricks to really start thinking about, you know, when you build out your team, insurance has got to be a big part of it.
Guys, I have to be honest with you. If I was to think back 30-ish years ago and say, am I going to be really excited to talk about taxes and insurance and, you know, entity structuring with my older brother, Greg, you could have knocked me over with a feather because that was not going to happen. It wasn't on the radar. So here we are today, and I'm really excited to bring you Aaron Letzizer from OB Insurance. So Aaron, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, guys. Thanks. Listen, I also did not ever think that after time in the real estate world, I would be starting an insurance company with my older brother. So this is a timely podcast. I'm glad you guys are pumped to talk about something as exciting and as riveting as insurance.
Well, I got to be honest with you, you know, getting into the real estate space, you know, once you get over that 101 kind of mindset of like, you know, real estate's a class that I want to be a part of, and I'm a regular W-2 guy and I need to figure this out. And once you kind of graduate to that next level, it's really kind of not back of the napkin math anymore, right? It's spreadsheets and it's pro formas. And we have to have good information, right? Because if you put garbage into a pro forma, you're going to get garbage out, right?
Yeah.
If you massage numbers because it makes you feel good, because the, you know, the returns look, you know, more sexy than they are, that's a problem, right? So the way in which we have to go about the good data, especially for insurance these days, right? So I don't even care if you're a passive investor or an active investor. Today, we're recording this in February of 2024. The insurance industry has been stood on its head. Insurance rates across the country, especially where we invest a lot in the Sun Belt, Southeast, right, have gone bananas. And it's really kind of taken a lot of people by surprise. So Aaron, can you kind of take us through a little bit about that? Actually, before we get into that, I want to set the table a little bit more. Aaron, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into real estate?
Yeah, it's an interesting story, right? Like you guys, started with my older brother, actually. So his background was real estate, private equity. Mine's been a myriad of different businesses that I've started and grown, but I've always had my insurance license. Got it back in college. I hustled my friends for their renter's insurance, their auto insurance, some good beer money on the weekend, right? It was easy. Had a lot of people that I could just send them a link and sign up. And, you know, it was after college that my brother kind of, you know, bit me with the real estate bug, right? You know, early to mid 2010s, right? We're coming out of a bit of the retail apocalypse that has stuck around a little bit. But you know, Ryan always said something to me. He felt like after doing a bunch of grocery anchor shopping centers that people don't always need a place to shop, but they always need a place to live. And that's a phrase that has just really stuck with me over the last 10 years. And so that's really where I got my start. Like a lot of, I think, hobbyists and accidental landlords, I had my first condo unit and said, hey, this is my jumping off point, right? It's a nice place to put blood, sweat, and tears into this. I'm not going to sell it. I'm going to turn it into a rental. And so that really kicked things off, continued to grow a portfolio of residential real estate investment assets, primarily in the Southeast Carolinas, as well as up here. We live in Chicago. So, I hold my nose and take an aspirin before I pay the property taxes, but otherwise seems to cash flow okay. And that's been the experience. And, you know, a lot of that in that journey, really always had my older brother complaining. I don't know if you guys have experienced something similar, but insurance, even before, you know, the market has kind of turned on its head, it was the thing that we always felt like was the largest line, or one of the largest line item expenses that we had on our balance sheet or on the P&L, and especially on pro forma, but the one that we always felt like we had the least amount of control and insight into. Everything else we could do, right? You could hire and let go of your PM, your maintenance folks, your different vendors, even tax and accounting, right? You can kind of see how some of this stuff shapes up what you're actually paying for. And insurance was the thing that we felt like was just such a black hole. And after talking to a bunch of other investors, we felt like we had the exact same experience. And so that's really where OB started and where we focused on today.
You know, it's interesting. You always find that the best entrepreneurs are the ones that solve their own problems. And it sounds like, you know, as you go through the, you know, the hand-to-hand combat of being a single family investor, a multifamily investor, whatever it is, right? It's what kind of problems keep arising. And when those problems just become too much, you say, how do I solve this? And that's really cool. It sounds like you have a great older brother, Ryan. Tim is fortunate enough to have a great older brother as well. And, you know, I take great pride in that, of course. And, you know, through our journey, some of our mentors have always mentioned food, clothing, and a place to live is why multifamily apartments, single family investing is just so very important. And, you know, when you're on that real estate journey, it's, you know, kind of where do you want to put your money? Where's it going to be important? Where's it going to be relevant? It's not always in retail or office or these different places. So, you know, finding your way is really important in real estate investing. So, you know, when you go about solving your own problem, it's not always just kind of like this linear progression. Can you kind of walk us through how OB came to be? Number one, how'd you get the name? And then, you know, kind of like how it came to fruition of this wonderful insurance business that you've built.
You know, it's akin to thinking, hey, you know, I'm just going to buy this property and I'm going to rent it out to a great tenant, and I'm going to have on time rent collection every month, and nothing's going to break. That's what kind of starting an insurance company was like for us, right? We said, hey, this can't be too hard, right? It's not like it's highly regulated or anything. And so that was really the journey. We jumped into it. Ryan and I joked today that if we knew how complex this industry was, right, we never would have started in the first place. But that's, you know, that's where you get the battle scars. That's where, on the real estate investing side, you're, you know, after you put up that first rental unit, much like me, right, it's for so many people the first place that they lived. And they're like, oh man, I hope they're taking care of it, right? What are the things keeping you up at night? And then you start adding the units and you're like, all right, this is feeling a little bit better. That was it. That was insurance for us, right? We fortunately got started. We had a good network, as you and most of your listeners know. Real estate's a massive, massive asset class, but it's a pretty small community, right? There's 17 million individual and small business landlords and real estate investors in the U.S. on the residential side. And we just started going around to people and saying, hey, like, you know, is this a problem for you as well? What would you care about? What are the things that you actually want to think about? Has your agent ever talked to you about, you know, about cap rates, right? And how saving premium and kind of adjusting some of these things can actually, you know, help to pencil out pro forma, right? Are you going to sell it? Are you not going to sell it? What's the goals of that asset? How could we build an insurance company that was really focused on keeping our real estate investor hat on, and building a product that we felt like really solves the day-to-day needs? Because for so many different insurance carriers, and to their no fault of their own, you know, they're really focused on two ends of the market, either your personal line side, this is Flo and the Gecko Geico and your Super Bowl commercials and the State Farm guy, and they really want your home and your auto. And then you have these large, national, massive carriers, right, that are doing like 30 Rock and the Empire State Building. They want these really large trophy Class A assets. And there was this middle ground, right, of the small, you know, to medium-sized residential real estate investor, small commercial investor. And they just didn't really get a lot of love in the space. And so as a result, there wasn't a lot of support. There weren't a lot of agents that focused on it because there weren't a lot of markets. And so that was our jumping off point. That was us going out there and trying to find people that were certainly a hell of a lot smarter than we were in the space, and trying to figure out how do we get smarter? How do we take this, you know, piece by piece? And that's really where OB's grown today. We now offer our own insurance products. We underwrite things internally. We try and build insurance products in the way that we as real estate investors would want that, you know, that type of coverage, or at least that type of transparency and control. So that way every unique and individual property or asset can be evaluated now, at least from an insurance perspective, on what's in the best interest of that specific asset or that specific portfolio during the course of the next year, right? How do rents look? Do you want to, you know, do you want to add a little bit of coverage? Do you want to take it away? What are the things that are important to you? What keeps you up at night? And what can insurance do to help be a strategic partner in your real estate investing strategy?
Ooh, I love that. Greg and I just had a podcast / webinar with the real estate CPA firm. And, you know, a big part of that webinar, Greg, was building out your team. When you become a real estate investor, a lot of us, especially the New Yorker inside of us, Greg, we don't trust anybody, right? Guilty till proven innocent. We want to do it by ourselves. We want to do the thing. We want to be in control. And we have all these things. And then as we grow up a little bit, we realize that we need a team and we need people who are the experts in their field, right? So, and what I find about real estate investing is that, you know, if you start off like traditional single family homes, not every realtor knows about, you know, rental real estate, right? They might know how to, you know, stage it. They might know how to sell it. They might know how to help you negotiate and all those things that realtors know how to do, but they may not understand the aspects of rental real estate. Same thing with your CPA, right? You might have a family guy or a girl, right? And they've been doing Uncle Tommy's taxes forever, and moms and dads, and we just kind of followed suit. And then all of a sudden we're like, wow, we need somebody to understand our needs, right? And I can really say, and now we have an insurance guy, right? Because, you know, a lot of these expenses that have gone up in real estate in the last, say, 18, 24 months, they're material. They're not just your average, you know, resetting of rates or anything like that. They're material differences. We're talking 50, 60, 100% increases, depending on the market that you've been investing in. So really, you know, on top of an insurance guy, a CPA, a realtor, you're going to want to stack on top of that, maybe an attorney to help out with some entity structuring or something like that. And of course, you know, guys here at Cityside Capital can help you with private placements. But anyway, so listen, Aaron, let's kind of talk about, you know, how does the OB process work? Like, pretend that I'm a investor and I'm looking for a 1-4 unit, you know, down the fairway, you know, duplex, triplex, quad, something like that, single family rental. And I go to your website and talk us how, you know, how does the process work and what can we expect?
Yeah. I mean, it's great. I love that you said you want to build the team, right? I mean, that's so important. Well, whether it's insurance, CPA, whether it's OB or somebody else, right? Find somebody that knows the space. If there is nothing else to make your life easier as a real estate investor, find that team. We've gotten really lucky that over the years we have found really, really, really good people. So that's the first thing. Second thing, on the real estate side and on the OB side, if you've got a fairway deal on the 1-4 unit space, we can do 1-4 instantly, basically anywhere in the country. Right. If it's below $1 million in replacement cost, which is, you know, 95% of the single family rentals in the US, as long as it's not a mansion on the beach in Palm Beach, you know, or in Miami or, you know, right in the lower half of that boot in Louisiana, some of those areas, we provide instant rates at probably 90-95% of the different counties throughout the US. I like to tell people that you can sit on your couch on a Saturday morning and get insurance at OB without having to talk to anybody. Right. And still have a really great experience. Now there's somebody there if you want to. You can chat, you can call us, you can email us, you can email me. Found that the thing that people really value and what you would find if you went to the website is you can get through their fairway deal. I'll have a quote in your hand that's instantly bindable in a minute, maybe a minute and a half, right? Assuming you have some of the information. We don't ask you a lot of the stupid questions, right? A lot of the stuff that I can get from publicly available data sources, the fact that people are still asking some of these things in 2024 is always pretty astounding. And then I think the biggest differentiator, right? And again, this isn't a knock on the traditional insurance space. It just was never built for this. And so I want to get you to a checkout page and a checkout experience where the two of you guys can sit there, right? And you know, Tim and Greg are on a speakerphone right on the weekend. They're doing this for the new duplex they're buying. And you guys are saying, well, you know, rents might be peaking a little bit. We're not really sure if we're going to be able to command the market rent that we want to get to. Maybe we want a little bit of a higher deductible, right? Maybe we want to add some coverage. Maybe we want to subtract it. maybe you guys are the type that are like, you know what, we buy insurance to use it, right? We want a lower deductible because we want to actually utilize the insurance. We're not the folks that want a $10,000 or $25,000 deductible. And so you can sit there on that last page and the price is dynamically changing, right? And that's the best part. You might not even be under contract for that duplex yet. You might just want to see where pricing's coming in at, and you want to gut check the investment sales broker, right? Because that Disneyland version of that offering memorandum that everybody gets, right? You want to double check what that pro forma price is for insurance. And you can sit there and you can do it. You can change those combinations to your heart's content. And then you throw in a credit card and you're done, right? Maybe you came through a lender and that's how you found OBI. We'll digitally deliver that doc directly back to your lender. Maybe you came through your property manager. We'll automatically add them on as an additional insured. That's usually a requirement of all the PMs that exist out there. So it's really about using technology to be able to make that experience a little bit better. Now, if you're a 5+ unit investor, if you're buying an apartment building, I can't underwrite that instantly just because of the nature of the apartment world, but I can be pretty fast on it. So same type of experience. You throw some information in there. Somebody's going to follow up, right? We might just grab an offering memorandum. We can read that digitally pretty quickly, grab all the info out of it, but have that exact same type of experience, right? Our goal at the end of the day is to really put an owner in the driver's seat to become the master of their own destiny, right? It's a phrase that we use often because you know your properties better than anybody else. And it's just, again, it's a function of the traditional insurance market where you can't go back to your insurance agent and ask them for 30 different combinations, right? It's not that they don't want to do it. They got to go back to their carrier and they say, hey, Mr. Underwriter, please do me a solid. They're not even under contract yet. But if you could give them these 30 different combinations, they're trying to see if this thing pencils out or not, right? They're not going to do it. It's not built for that. Not that they don't want to. So that's the OBI experience. That's what we're trying to flip insurance on its head a little bit here.
No, that's fantastic. It sounds like, you know, to get where you really want to be with your insurance package, it sounds highly customizable. And, you know, you could, you know, whether price, deductible, all those different things, you know, as we sit here and not everyone really knows a lot about insurance, right? Unless you're really in the nitty gritty and this is what you do 100% of your time, right? What are some of the tips that you may have for someone that's buying that 1-4 unit? And they're shopping for insurance. They're talking to their guy that has their home and auto, but they go on OBI. What are some of the tips and tricks that they should be looking at, or maybe like the top two most important things that they should be doing when they're trying to customize their insurance package?
Yeah, it's a great question. I would say the first thing, especially right now, especially with the year that inflation has had and the insurance market has had, is look at your replacement cost. If there is nothing else that I can leave people with, it's, you know, really two things. If it's an existing asset, we've seen folks that bought something 3, 4, 5, 7 years ago. They've just never increased the limit, right? It just continues to renew. And then you look at it, you divide it by the square footage, and you're like, hey, you're set up for like $75 a square foot, right? Like, do you think that's enough? And they're like, hell no, right? In this market, like, hey, I can't rebuild this thing for less than $140. You know, dollars a square foot. And that's not even including, you know, remediation, right, of the land and the labor and everything else. And you're like, that's the biggest thing. Because unfortunately, like, accidents do happen, especially with tenants, right? Everybody listening right now can empathize with that. And in the event that the worst happens and the entire place burns down, what you don't want to find out is that you don't have enough coverage. If you're going to pay for insurance, right, make sure that you have the coverage that you actually need to rebuild the place. Because what ends up happening is that, you know, let's say you didn't change it. You're at $75, $80, $100 a square foot. You really need to be at $125, maybe $140. Your lender, which most people have debt on their assets, right? It's very normal. Your lender might end up just saying, hey, listen, they didn't get enough coverage. I just want my check, right? Of the total amount of that limit, I'm just going to take my check. I'm going to take my losses a little bit. And I'm going to move on. And so you get the remainder of the check, right? Maybe you got 30, 40, you know, percent in equity into that property. You're going to get a check for that remaining balance of whatever limit you had. And then you're going to have a burned out property that you've got to try and figure out what to do with. Hopefully maybe sell it, right? You can't rebuild it. You don't have that lender that's also helping you kind of rebuild it and provide the cash that's needed to do so. So that is the biggest thing. If I can leave anybody with one piece of advice, it's go check out what your property limit is, where the building limit, sometimes it's called coverage A on your declarations page. It's usually the biggest number that's on there, right? Divide that by your total square footage and then ask yourself, is this enough to rebuild the property in my market?
Well, I see Greg taking notes furiously over there because he might be calling Obi very quickly because he still has his single family rental in Virginia, right, Greg? Don't you?
I'm just covering my bases, making sure I'm, you know, in the right spot here. But this is invaluable information, and this is, you know, kind of the stuff you need whether you're going to be active, especially if you're going to be active. You have to know these sort of things, and it's a good kind of gut check because I bought property 5 years ago. Got to make sure I have the right coverage.
Now I was going to stack on top real quick of what you just said, Aaron, how you so beautifully laid it out is that, you know, when we're first getting into this game, and I'm guilty of this too. I mean, I literally did my calculations in a marble notebook, you know, I wasn't even on a spreadsheet. And I called my insurance guy. I said, hey, by the way, you have my homeowner's policy. Hey, do you do rental properties? Yeah, we do rental properties. Cool. Can you give me a quote on this? Didn't even go over any of this stuff with him. He just gave me the quote. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. That's a good price. You know, had no idea what kind of fire coverage did I have. You know, I had no idea, right? But I just know I wanted to be a real estate investor, so I got into the game. Unfortunately, it's how a lot of people are, and then they learn by taking some of their lumps, and we call that, you know, education, not failures, right? We call that experience. But if you can get ahead of the game, and it sounds like it's such a robust online tool that you can do it from your couch on a Saturday morning and really toggle some of the, you know, switches and say, you know, what do I need? What's going to support me? It sounds like a great, great product. Just to make a quick pivot, you know, we've been kind of nibbling around the edges of some of the changes that have gone on in the insurance market. And as investors, you know, we have a small private equity company here, Cityside Capital, Aaron, and we invest in large multifamilies, self-storage, industrial triple net leases, among some other private equity, private placement offerings. But we've noticed that on our existing deals, the insurance has been outrageous, especially in places like Texas and Florida. And we've, you know, us and our operators have had to do a lot of heavy lifting trying to figure some of that out. And luckily, we work with best-in-class operators, so it has been working out. And then there's other places like Arizona that has a cap of, I think, 2 or 2.5% on yearly increases. And that's why it's so nice to invest in Arizona because of that fact. So can you kind of tell us, like, what are the leading trends right now as you see them in your business and as they can relate to maybe the 1-4 unit space, as I don't think everybody is interested always in insuring 250 units or more, something like that.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I would say the answer is going to be the same, regardless of whether you're doing the single unit, right, or, you know, 200, 300 unit Class B, you know, garden style somewhere. I would say predominantly the Southeast, right, and the Sun Belt has been the most active place for people to put dollars to work in the multi and single family space over the last probably 5 to 7 years. Over the last 5 to 7 years, it has also become one of the most challenging places to insure. I would say it's really a confluence of a couple of events that happened really over the last couple of years. I think there is some light at the end of the tunnel on some level of market stabilization. I think 2024 is still going to be a bit of a rough ride for folks, but I think prices will start to stabilize. But it's really a function of a couple of things. First, you got unexpected weather events, right? People think Florida and they think hurricanes, but like, there's a lot of really good modeling that can be done to figure out what's going to happen with the hurricanes. It's really about all those other, you know, weather events that happen, right? If you guys invested in Texas a couple of years ago, you had the Texas winter storm that nobody was expecting. You got the California wildfires, you had the thing in Hawaii. So that's been big, right? A lot of unexpected claims. Your second thing is, obviously, we touched on it, inflation on replacement cost. If your carrier has done what's known as like a guaranteed replacement cost, right? They're the ones that offered that replacement cost number. So they're going to rebuild it for you, right? It doesn't matter that lumber went up 15, 20%, right? They're rebuilding it and they didn't expect that to happen. So they're getting hit again. And then the last one that people don't think about is really actually the currency markets. So most reinsurance capacity comes from Europe, right? Either from like a Lloyd's of London or Markel or Swiss Re or Munich Re, right? If the pound or the euro starts to devalue against the dollar 5, 7, 10% as it has in different periods over the last 2 years, suddenly there's 5, 7, 10% less insurance capacity than they thought they were going to have, even before you get into inflation or anything else. And so it has created a real confluence of events that has, you know, that really has landed in the laps of primarily real estate investors across the country, right? They're the ones really absorbing this as they try and figure out and navigate these situations. So primarily the biggest trends are increasing rates, primarily in, you know, Southeast Texas, right? Harris County, Southern Louisiana, Florida, really anywhere in the state, right? It's not even just the coastal areas. It's about how do you aggregate and distribute your risk, right? And the portfolios of properties that carriers will insure for you across the state, right? So that's been a big challenge. I think in the Southwest, you've had a little bit more market stabilization. It's still larger because carriers are trying to make up for their losses around the rest of the country. But it has become both a, I think, very popular place to invest. You know, Central and Western Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, Nevada, very popular places to invest on the single and multifamily side, but places where at least insurance pricing has become a little bit more predictable, right? Still not comfortable, still not somebody that really wants to be writing that check, but something a little bit closer to a 5, 7, 10, 15% annual increase on that premium. So that's where we see the market at. I'm hoping we do start to see some level of stabilization, but you know, it really goes back to a point you guys made earlier, which is you really have to find somebody in the insurance space, OB or otherwise, that really focuses on this space. The carriers and the markets that your generalist insurance person is working on, they just don't have the specialist market access that you really want to find. You want to find that insurance agent or that broker who knows and understands this space, because there's constantly moving and changes in the market where they're going to have access because of the volume that they're doing, because they specialize in this space, where a carrier who's just jumping into the Texas market or may have just opened up a little bit more Florida capacity, those carriers and those insurance companies, even like OB, we work with agents as well. We're going to give that to folks that we know are going to use it, right? And the first people that we're going to go to are the ones that are most active in those markets. And so that's where folks really, I think, can find some benefit in working with a specialist in this space, as the market's still a little bit turbulent.
When you think of rising insurance costs, you know, just as a follow-up to what you were saying, you think natural disasters, wildfires, you know, different hurricanes, different things like that. But, you know, when you talk about the broader economy and what that has, the effect on interest rates, you know, that's something you just don't think about. So that's great information. And then just, you know, as that quick follow-up, you talk about in 2024, 2025, maybe a stabilization in prices. Do you, and this is just a total opinion of yours. Do you ever see do you predict a retreat in pricing at all? I mean, you know, stabilization is great, but you know, we've also gone up 15, 20 and some places 50 and above percent, you know, that's a lot. Can you predict? I know you can't predict, but do you see a retreat coming anytime soon?
Yeah, I'm hoping that by 2025 you actually start to see that. We fortunately had, I think, a less than volatile hurricane season this past year, which allowed people to maintain some level of reserves. I would say, unfortunately, you know, and we get this question all the time. I see it online a lot in comments. You know, why am I in Ohio and my insurance is going up substantially when I don't live in these places, right? And people need to remember that their insurance premiums, much like anywhere in the country, are helping to, over the course of a year, stabilize the broader insurance market, right? Because we know that wildfires are going to happen at this time of the year. We know that hurricanes might actually happen at this time of the year. These different weather events, you know, your tornadoes and when they're going to actually happen. And so it's a constant fluctuation of risk. But because of that, I think those non-catastrophic exposed areas, right? I think Florida and Southeast Texas are going to continue to see some amount of challenges, depending on how close you are to the actual coast and the condition and the age of your building. Definitely those folks that really haven't updated roofs or aluminum wiring or mitigated some of those things, stab lock breakers. I think the rest of the country will start to see a little bit of a market reduction in price. And that's, again, going to be, I think, a function more of market dynamics and true, like, capitalistic, you know, free market structures. Right? You're going to have carriers that haven't gotten impacted the way others have, and they're going to start re-entering different markets around the country. And they're going to say, hey, this is where Travelers is at. This is where this other carrier is at. I think actually we can undercut the market by 5, 7, 10%, still make really good money here because we weren't impacted the way that they were. And so that's what starts to soften the insurance market. It is a true free market system, whereby people have made very good money in the insurance space. So there's always more capital that's moving into the space. And that will then allow new products and new opportunities that I think will trickle down into the average investor.
Love it. I mean, that's great information right there. I really appreciate you diving in and taking the time to really kind of delineate, you know, I think I've learned a lot, right? Just on the back end of the insurance business, you know, just starts to make a little bit more sense after hearing you say it. So Aaron, thank you so much, man. So we're going to jump into the last three questions in the interest of time here. And these are going to be just kind of statements. And then I just want to get your feedback. And so the first one is from a mentor of ours, de facto mentor, Jim Rohn. And he says something that you are the average of the five people that you spend the most amount of time with. What does that mean to you?
Oh, man, I don't want to turn into my brother.
I hear that, brother. I hear that.
No, it's so true. I think it really is. I think it really is true. You are the product of the people that you surround yourself with at the end of the day.
Love it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I'm always trying to upgrade, and you know, we hired another guy at Cityside Capital just for that reason. You know, it's we need all the help we could get. Second thought there is, you know, when you're at a cocktail party, you're talking to people, I do insurance and real estate and stuff like that. What do you say to people when they say, you know, investing in real estate is just too risky?
I would show them, the different charts on the public equities market in the last 18 to 24 months, depending on what they're investing in. You can find something that looks really risky and really safe at the exact same time. Find really good people that know what they're doing in the space, build that good team like we talked about. And, you know, once you get past that first rental that keeps you up at night, the rest is, the rest starts to feel a little bit more like riding a bike.
Love that. And then finally, another quote by Jim Rohn, you can tell that I'm a big Jim Rohn fan, is that he says that a formal education will make you a living and a self-education will make you a fortune. How does that land on you?
Oh, you gotta go through the things that you're going to go through. I mean, I appreciate that I went to college. I think the hard fought lessons that are learned by actually going out and actually doing, without a price tag, completely priceless.
Love that. I also am happy that I went to college. I had a great time, as everybody that, you know, who was around me at the time knows. But, you know, it took me 5 years to get a 4-year degree. But listen, I had a great time doing it. So Aaron, this has been a tremendous kind of little mini masterclass. I'd love to have you back at some point to really kind of dive into some more of these topics on a deeper level. I'm sure we're going to get some great feedback from the listeners on this one. But if they want to know a little bit more about how to get started, they want to have a conversation with you or want somebody in your team, what are some of the best ways for them to go ahead and do that?
The best way, first one is to go to the website. obiinsurance.com, obieinsurance.com. People can email me as well, aaron@obieinsurance.com. For better or for worse, I'm connected to my email. If I can't answer the question, we got a lot of really, really smart people. A lot of people, a hell of a lot smarter than I am on the team. I can find you an answer.
Love that. So I'd highly recommend, you know, especially if you're new out there or even if you're seasoned, right? Just to kind of, you know, go onto the website, sign in. You can, it looks super easy. Drop in your address, you know, and it looks like you can do it from your couch, like Aaron said. So head on over to obieinsurance.com, connect with Aaron with his email address. And that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Passive Income Brothers podcast. And we look forward to serving you again next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Passive Income Brothers podcast. We would be grateful for your support of our podcast by giving our show a 5-star rating and review and subscribing to our show on your favorite podcast platform. Don't forget to take inspired action after listening to this show so that you can start building out your passive income streams. Finally, head on over to citysidecap.com to connect with us and find out more information about how to get started passively investing in real estate.